Another busy week in the United States. Lots for us to talk about with Reggie Jacchini, our Global News Washington correspondent. Good morning, Reggie.
Good morning.
Let's start with the jury selection that went on this week. What a fascinating process this was in the trial of former President Donald Trump.
Yeah, sure. And the speed at which it was going, which was kind of slow to begin with and then really ramped up. And then by last night, we had an entire jury set. I mean, at 4:28 New York time, there were five jurors. And at 5:33, there were 12 jurors plus one alternate. But you're right in that the process in which it's playing out in a very public way is interesting, because some of the details of the jurors, the prospective jurors at the time, started to go public, and it forced one of the jurors to step back to say, look, I can't do this anymore because my information is starting to be learned, and there could be risk with that. And it, you know, it just goes to show the kind of the hugeness of this trial and the risk that it carries, not only for Donald Trump, but for those who are going to ultimately hold his fate in their hands.
Right. Okay. So what happened this week? We did see him in the courtroom too, didn't we?
We've seen Donald Trump in court every single day, and we'll continue to see him in court every single day, because New York law requires that the person answering the charges be in court when it is in session. And we've heard Trump before and after the trial starts and ends every single day, making claims that this is a scam, really pushing back on the judge to say that he's not qualified, pushing back on the district attorney to say that he's simply out, you know, for political blood to go after Donald Trump. And what this does, Simi, is it stays in the parameters of a gag order that Donald Trump is under, where he can't go after witnesses and he can't go after the judge's family. But because he's done that in the past, he's now facing a contempt hearing next Tuesday, kind of a trial within a trial, to see what kind of punitive damages should be put in place for Trump violating that gag order. So, I mean, he's facing legal hot water with the trial, and he's also facing legal hot water for the things that he has said about the trial.
Right. Okay. And meanwhile, the presidential race continues. Really interesting to see what's going on with the Kennedy family on this one.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think this goes to show a couple of different things. Number one, third party candidates don't typically wind up, you know, doing very much through a campaign. But the fact that RFK Jr. is polling with double digit numbers right now, kind of 12, 13, 14%, depending on the month and depending on who's conducting the poll, there are real risks here that he could pull away voters from Donald Trump, but also from the Biden family. And the fact that Kennedy's family kind of pushed him to the side, and so many of them stood behind Joe Biden yesterday to say that that is where they are throwing their support. A, it's a rebuke to the kind of rhetoric that's come from RFK Jr. over the last several weeks, you know, on a variety of different topics here. It's a push to try and ensure that people who may be wary of Biden and be looking for another, you know, candidate to choose or potentially not go out and vote, for the Kennedy family to say, look, we understand politics and we understand that this is the direction that the country is going. You know, it's unclear if the Kennedy family still holds the kind of leverage politically that they once did, but this was a huge rebuke to their own family.
Okay, so there's that going on. And then meanwhile, you had Columbia University in New York. What was going on with this protest happening? It looked like it was quite a big one.
It was a huge protest. It looked, there were more than 100 arrests that were announced by police and by Mayor Eric Adams. This was a pro-Palestinian protest that was on the lawn. And look, Columbia has a very long and lengthy history of allowing student protests on campus. But there was concern here that this was going to lead to potential issues throughout the school. There was concern for the safety, particularly of Israeli students at the school, of which there are 5,000. But essentially, these pro-Palestinian group of students and some faculty members was trying to call on the university to divest itself from any of the donors who may be tied to Israel, kind of under this cloud of the Israel-Hamas conflict. And it's now spilling over. And we've seen this, you know, time and time again at university campuses, that students are looking for policy changes here to how students should be protected, to where money should be coming from, to where affiliations should land. Look, earlier this year, we saw the presidents of you know, really Ivy League universities step down over their views on the Israel-Hamas conflict. And here we are now at Columbia, the president saying that they need to update their policies and that they're going to allow for students to be able to protest, but the protests have to be done in accordance with school laws.
Oh, isn't that interesting? Also, I can't even believe I'm asking about this again after everything, but are they in danger of losing another Speaker of the House?
They are. They really are. Mike Johnson is potentially going to see his job put on the line. Marjorie Taylor Greene already put this motion to vacate out in public. There are a couple of other Republicans lining up with her now. It only takes one to be able to kind of spark this process. And it's all because Mike Johnson wants to bring a bill to the floor that would give $60 billion in aid to Ukraine. It would also give money to Israel, money to Taiwan. But Republican lawmakers are really anti this money for Ukraine. They want to see it in a loan. They don't feel that it's going anywhere and that there's not enough transparency for it. There have been some members of the Republican Party who have said, look, it's weird that we see members of our own party doing this because it almost makes it feel like they are taking a pro-Russian stance right now. But if he does this, he risks a motion to vacate and he will have to rely on Democrats to come to his rescue to save him. They say that they'll do it. They say that this is a different situation from when Kevin McCarthy was losing his job. But if Democrats don't do it, months before an election, the Republicans could find themselves without a leader again.
Okay. Again. I honestly can't even believe that one, Reggie. Like, it's like they do the same thing over and over and over again.
I mean, look, Kevin McCarthy was in the job for less than a year. Mike Johnson has been in the job for less than a year. He's already been told, look, if we win the House in the election this year, you're not going to be in this position next year.
Wow.
But he's making a point of saying, look, the Ukraine money is essential because if we don't give it to them and Russia wins, Russia will move closer to America because they're not going to stop in Ukraine. He's trying to hammer this message home. His party doesn't want to hear it.
Isn't that interesting? Oh, also, I wanted to ask you about this 911 outage that happened. This sounded like it was a big one.
Four states lost their 911 services.
Oh, that's huge.
Huge. There were initial conversations. Look, was there a hack? Did something nefarious go wrong? We understand now that a company was installing a light pole, and installing the light pole took down 911 communications. There are still a lot of questions being asked to how could this be possible, but it really has kind of shone a light on the vulnerability of the 911 infrastructure around this country if one light standard is able to knock out four states' abilities to be able to answer calls from people who need help. And this comes as, the FBI and other kind of cybersecurity networks throughout the government have been saying, look, infrastructure at, large is at risk across the United States, everything from 911 to water systems to other emergency systems. I think that there's going to be some scrutiny here as to what can be done to better protect not only this country, but the average American if a light standard company can knock out 911 operations just by installing some wires.
That is crazy. But I guess for you, Reggie, just another week.
We'll see what happens next week.
We'll talk to you about that. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
That's Reggie Cicchini, our Global News Washington correspondent. Never fails to disappoint on the stories out of the United States every single week.